Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
All right, turn that microphone on, Maestro. I got a question for you.
All right.
Do you need a miracle in your life right now?
Do I need a miracle?
Do you need a miracle in your life right now?
Just about every day.
Just about every day, every moment of every day. Miracles are wonderful. Well, you know, people need miracles every now and then. It certainly every day would not be a bad thing. But people do need miracles every now and then. And a lot of times, the miracle that is needed has to do with something job-related. What most people don't realize is that they can have a direct influence on whether or not God will supply a miracle that they need. And would you like, Maestro, to know how people could have a direct influence on God's miracle?
Yes, I would.
Well, good. Well, then put your seat back and tray table in its upright and locked position and hold on. It's time to fly. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has created you to do. Feel free to join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or via email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. All right, well, this is what I had in mind with regards to how people can actually have a direct influence on God providing a miracle for them in their lives, whether it's work-related or not. But we're, you know, this is a work-related show, so we'll focus on that, of course. And I draw my thinking process from the book of Acts, chapter 12, and many people are familiar with the story, some are not. But in the book of Acts, of course, Jesus had already been crucified and had been risen and had raised back into heaven. And now the apostles were leading the charge, so to speak, and Peter had been captured and thrown into prison. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it reads this way, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible version. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made to God by the church. And right after that verse, in chapter 12, verse 5 of the book of Acts, Peter was released from prison. See, the persecution of the early church was in full swing at the time. And Peter, like I said, was in prison. The apostle James had just been murdered by Herod before Herod had captured Peter and thrown him into prison. Acts 12 records Peter's miraculous rescue at the hands of one of God's angels. But prior to the rescue, as I just read for you, there was fervent prayer in the church. Now, although God can perform a miracle anytime He wants in our lives, there are countless examples in the Bible, just like this one in the book of Acts, where God waits to act until His people ask for His help. And in those examples where man's prayer precedes God's power, we don't find God responding to half-hearted, casual pleas for help. He responds rather to passionate, fervent pleas for help, just like the kind we find in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And I looked up the word fervent in Merriam-Webster's dictionary just to make sure I had a good handle on it. I felt like I knew what it meant, and I did pretty much. But this is how the dictionary defines it, and it's very, very instructive. Fervent is defined as very hot or glowing, exhibited or marked by great intensity of feeling. And then another word would be zealous. Zealous is another good word for fervent. So what am I getting at here? When our cries for help in prayer are hot, glowing, and intense, they're zealous, we communicate to our Savior that our faith in Him is real. Our dependence upon Him is complete. But when our prayers lack such character, it's because our faith is weak and our reliance on self rather than on God gets in the way. And as Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 teaches us, by the way, again, reading from the Amplified Bible Version, let me just quote that for you. This was the story of one of the stories of Jesus restoring sight to some blind men. And in Matthew 9, 29, it reads this way. Then he touched their eyes, Jesus, of course, being the he. Then he, Jesus, touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done unto you. And there are countless examples, as I've already said, throughout the Bible where God responds to prayer that is fervent and He rewards faith directly. Our gifts from God oftentimes are given to us in direct proportion to our faith, just like Jesus said right here, according to your faith and trust and reliance on me be it done unto you. And it wasn't until those blind men put their full faith and trust in Christ that He then responded to them by giving them sight. It wasn't until the church fervently prayed for Peter that God provided the miracle, the miraculous rescue of Peter from prison. So if you need a miracle in your life, it doesn't matter if it's work-related or not, but just specifically talking about your career calling, maybe you're in a place right now where you're confused, where you're unsure what direction you're supposed to take. Maybe you're in a job situation that is just pathetic for one reason or another. You would know, I certainly don't, but maybe the pay is not high enough. Maybe the work environment is very, very stressful. Maybe there's something else that's making it horrible for you to work there. And you're wondering what needs to change, or you know something that needs to change and you want God to change it for you. Let me ask you this question. How have you addressed those issues or that issue with God in prayer? Are you stuck in a nasty situation or a situation you don't like and you've been there for a really long time? Well, ask yourself, when was the last time you prayed about it? All right, you know, Peter would have stayed in prison, I am convinced, had the church not fervently prayed for his release. I am convinced those blind men in Matthew 9 would have remained blind had they not fervently asked Christ to intervene in their lives. So if you want to take the next step in your career calling, you've got to ask God to intervene in your life. And if you don't, you're doing it in your own power. And guess what? That ain't probably going to work too well for you. Most people who rely on their own power to achieve God's purposes in their lives fall flat on their face, because only through God enabling us to do His will can we successfully do it. So my challenge to you, as it is to myself, is to remember to ask God to supply whatever miracle you need in your life right now to make sure that things happen the way that you know He wants them to happen for you in your life. All right. You know what, Maestro, I have been just suffering from withdrawal symptoms. We haven't had a good edition of Take This Job and Shove It lately. So do you mind just going ahead and playing that for me?
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. Here no more.
Oh yeah, oh Johnny. Such an inspiring song. Such an inspiring song. Let's say that you have taken the biblical advice to pray for God's next miracle in your life. And you've done that. And God has shown you a path. And the path is maybe He wants you to quit your job and go to some other job. Maybe He wants you to transition into a business of some kind. Whether you are supposed to transition into operating your own business or transition into some other workplace or work environment or job, career, field, industry in its entirety. Regardless of which way God wants you to go, there's some great advice I wanted to share with you that I read about in an article entitled Entrepreneurs. I can't even say that word. Let me try that again. people who want to start their own business. I'm having a tongue twister day, so I'm going to stay away from the hard words like entrepreneur and rural. And, you know, rural, in the country is the way you're supposed to say rural. It's a lot more complicated than that, but, you know, oh well. You get the picture. Entrepreneurs, should you quit your day job? We ask Shark Tank's Damon John. So this article written by a guy named Micah Solomon for Inc.com, and he interviewed Damon John to ask a little bit about this question. If you're going to open up your own business, and that was the focus of the article, if you're going to open up your own business, should you quit your day job in order to focus intently without distraction on building that business? And I would argue that the same advice, again, applies to someone who might see or feel the need to move on to a different job environment, a different company, a different workplace environment, different industry in its entirety. The same kind of advice applies. Those of you, for example, who have searched for jobs recently know that the job search is like a full-time job itself. So some people actually have the mentality, I need to quit my job here so I can spend a full-time effort on trying to find my next job. So again, same advice applies in either venue. All right, Damon John's answer, Shark Tank's Damon John's answer, is a resounding no. Do not quit your day job to go open up your own business. Do not quit your day job to go look for that next job. Now, apparently, Damon John has several entrepreneurial ventures. I'm not aware of all of them, but one of them is called FUBU. FUBU is an American clothing and hip-hop apparel company, which sells casual wear, sportswear, a suit collection, and several other things. And while he was building FUBU in the 1990s, that's when he started it, he actually held down a day job at Red Lobster to make ends meet without sacrificing his entrepreneurial vision. So he gives his advice from a standpoint of his own personal experience. Don't quit your day job. Stay there. Keep a job so you can pay your bills while you're building the business. Now, his advice continues, he does split up his advice into three basic components. And the first one is something we'll talk about when we get back from the other side of the break, because if I start now, you'll just not be able to stand it, because I'll leave that cliffhanger there. You know, if I only give you one and make you wait for two and three, you might not be able to survive the break. And we don't want to do that to you. So we'll just save all three until we get back. See you in a minute.
Romans 1:20 tells us that God's power and divinity are obvious through what has been made, and skeptics are without excuse for their unbelief. Yet secular philosophies like evolution persist all over the culture. So next time on Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street addresses the wonder and truth of God's creation with filmmaker Steve Grison and theologian T.M. Moore. Don't miss a moment right here on Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
In the Upstate Bible Quiz League, children grades 3 to 12 memorize God's Word in a fun and competitive environment. The cost is only $2 per quizzer, so sign up your child today at upstatebiblequiz.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna. I love being in Bible Quiz, and I can't wait for another year to start.
I was a senior in high school last year, and I'm really going to miss it now.
Last year, I had so much fun.
Sign up today at upstatebiblequiz.com.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
All right, we're back from the break. Yes, I left a cliffhanger out there for you on the first segment. We had just begun. Oh, by the way, this is Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Thanks for joining us today. You can join us by phone or email, phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Back to the cliffhanger I was referencing a second ago. We were beginning an article or a review of an article labeled or titled Entrepreneurs Should You Quit Your Day Job? A guy named Micah Solomon, writing for Inc.com, had interviewed Damon John, Shark Tank's Damon John, to find out what his advice was. And the short answer is don't do it. For most people, Damon John says don't quit your day job in order to start a new business. And as we were saying before the break, that this same advice, by the way, would apply to someone who might think, hey, maybe I should quit my day job so I can spend a full-time effort finding for my next job or looking for my next job. So in either case, whether you feel led of the Lord to start a new business or start a new job search, the advice from Damon John would be don't quit your day job. And he held, for example, a day job at Red Lobster to make ends meet while he was building FUBU back in the early 1990s, FUBU, an American clothing and hip-hop apparel company. Now, his advice continues in the article. Number one, the reason why he gave this advice to stay at your job while you're building your business or whatnot. Many business concepts need time to gel in a form that makes sense. And one can argue, Damon John argues, you probably need to give it at least a year to see whether or not the concept is even going to work. And what he suggests is that at first you might just want to spend maybe an hour or so per week trying to build your business. Then after that, kind of grow into maybe 5 hours a week and then 10 hours a week and so on. Let it kind of grow organically during the first year. And chances are after 12 months or so, you'll know whether or not it's a viable concept. Then you still don't want to quit, though, even after that first year. Even once you prove it's viable, you probably should not quit, because if you build your business with stress on your shoulders all the time because you can't pay your bills, I mean, just because you have a viable concept doesn't mean it's going to pay your bills immediately. It still takes a lot of time to build a business. And Damon John is saying, hey, don't add extra stress to your life by quitting your job to pursue that viable business, because you still have to have cash flow to pay the light bill, to pay the water bill. So he says continue to work for most people, even once you've proven the business to be viable. There is an alternative out there, of course. You could try to raise a lot of money that would enable you to quit your job, pay you a salary, and then try to build your business from that standpoint. And that may or may not be the right answer for some people. But Damon John says, even if this is the right route, make sure that you try to use that money to grow your business, not pay off your living expenses beyond the bare necessities. So, now, Micah Solomon, the author of this article, adds a couple of extra thoughts of his own. He says this: getting your own business off the ground while working a straight job is the way to be smart about entrepreneurship, to reduce the risks involved, and to give yourself breathing space to get your concept and operations really right without pressure from investors or, heaven forbid, creditors. I mean, if you borrow a lot of money from the bank or borrow a lot of money from credit cards, there's a pressure there from your creditors. If you do get investors to invest in your business, there's a pressure there to perform for them. So even though that might free you up to quit your day job earlier than it would be if you grew the business organically, you do need to understand you'll have those pressures by having borrowed the money or by having had outside investors invest in your concept. So, as Micah Solomon wraps up his article, get used to saying, would you like fries with that? and hold your head up high while you build your business. All right, let's wrap up with Johnny Paycheck there.
Take this job and shove it.
But since we like to root our decisions in the wisdom of the Word of God, I don't want to finish that concept or that topic just by going off of what Damon John recommends. What would the Bible, what does the Bible have to say about just picking up and leaving your job? I mean, you might have a situation like Abraham did. God told Abraham, hey, I want you to leave your home and everything you know and go where I tell you to go. So, you know, that could happen. It has happened, and it will happen for some people again. Best thing I can do is kind of give you a personal story. Years ago, when I was had recently been obtained my license in the real estate business, I had got a real estate license so that I could engage in the real estate brokerage business. I had been working part-time in one particular company, and I was faced with a decision about whether or not to go full-time. Now, my wife and I were very committed when our children were much younger than they are now to make sure we had at least one parent at home. So for the first 7 years, actually, that we had children, we have three, for the first 7 years we had children, I was a stay-at-home dad. I was the one who was at home. My wife had a full-time job with good benefits, and we decided it made sense for her to keep that. When the first child came along, I ran a business out of the home and got some help from church members to babysit. When child two came along, did the same thing, kept operating the business. When child three came along, I looked at my wife and said, I've had all the fun I can stand. I can't do it anymore. Can't run a business and manage three kids. And we were at the point where we were, you know, seeking God's will. Should my wife come home, lose the benefits, lose the salary, and I go full-time in the real estate business? And that was the question at hand. And I really had two choices to go full-time in the real estate business. Number one, go full-time myself on my own, building my network, building my business from the ground up. Or option number two was to go to work for a friend of mine who had already been successful for over a decade, was so busy he needed help, and I would just go to work for him, and he would be my mentor, I would be his associate, and I would share in his income. And there were pros and cons of both routes, and I won't go into all that right now. But as I was seeking godly counsel from the Bible and from good men that I knew the Bible, one friend of mine named Jim had mentioned this to me. He said, he kind of referred me back to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And just to summarize that, that's the passage where Jesus is being tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And he pointed out to me two key verses there in that passage. Verse number one basically says this, and I'm paraphrasing, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 6 is one of the examples of Satan's temptations, and in that particular verse, Satan is urging Jesus to cast himself down from the temple, I believe it was, pinnacle, and basically challenged Jesus. Hey, go ahead and jump off, and God's going to save you. He's going to send angels to come lift you up. And then Satan quoted a verse from the Old Testament that said God would do that. And of course, Jesus responded, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What my friend was trying to teach me from this passage was this. If God tells you to jump off the cliff, do it. If Satan's telling you to jump off the cliff, don't. And that was the point. If you feel like if you, through your study and your prayer, you believe with all your heart, soul, and mind that God is the one having you take that plunge to quit where you are now to go full-time into pursuing a business idea or full-time into looking for your next job, then you should obey that command as Abraham did. If, however, it is human wisdom or satanic temptation that's challenging you to abandon where you are now and putting God in a position to where you think he has to save you if you make a bad mistake or a bad choice, then you don't want to jump off the cliff when it's Satan or human wisdom or your pride that's pushing you out the door. Now, the big question is, how do you tell the difference between when it's the Holy Spirit and when it's Satan that is, or your human wisdom or your pride that's tempting you to do this? Well, that goes back to our five-step process of biblical decision-making, which we've referenced many times before on the program. And we'll reference many times again. There are four steps to biblical decision making. Number one is that you should start with prayer. James 1:5 says that if you pray for wisdom, God will give it to you. Step number two is to search the scriptures for that wisdom. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the word and it'll give you great success. It'll give you prosperity. So meditate, research, study the word of God about that particular issue that you're striving with. Step number three is to seek godly counsel from others. Proverbs 24:6 says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's how I got this great advice from my friend Jim about not jumping off the cliff unless you're sure God is the one telling you to do so. And then number four, step four, found in Colossians 3:15, watch out for the peace or soul harmony that comes from Christ's direction in the matter. And as I've mentioned before, the way I know that that peace is mine is physical manifestation. You know, when I have the peace of God, let me go back. When I don't have the peace of God, I feel a physical manifestation of stress in the tightening of my throat, in almost a constricting. It's like someone's got their hands around my throat, and sometimes it manifests itself beyond that into a headache situation. But when the peace of the Lord is with me in a decision, then I have none of that. Physically, I'm at peace, as well as spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So, four-step process. Again, as always, we will post that and the other articles I've referenced so far at careercallings.net/radio. Careercallings.net/radio. All right. Well, one other thing I want to share with you. We're getting close to the end of the program today, and I want to share with you a quick bit of advice from IBM CEO Gina Romney. Gina Romney was giving a speech not long ago, and she rarely references her husband in her talks, but in this particular case, she did. And she related a story about a decision that she had been given, or an opportunity she had been given at IBM to step up the corporate ladder. And she was so scared of taking that position, she actually turned it down. When she went home, her husband challenged her, hey, don't fear that. Go ahead and take on the challenge because, and here I want to quote something very, very important from the article. The advice from her husband to her was this: growth and comfort never coexist. Let me repeat that. Growth and comfort never coexist. If God is challenging you to grow in your career right now, don't expect to be comfortable. Just trust Him and expect Him to show His power in your life. careercallings.net/radio for a copy of today's program.